message. The message this morning is going to be another kind of narrative message. And some time ago, at the beginning of our journey through the book of Romans, I gave you these sheets, and some of you did not get them, but now you have them, dealing with the sins of the Father. I also have another sheet that talks about the provisions of the Father. And we're going to deal with that this morning in kind of a narrative fashion as far as the Old Testament is concerned. And I give you here on the sins of the fathers, I give you some scripture references there. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5, and Isaiah chapter 40, verse 18, Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13. And as you look at this, at the sheet I've given you, people when they're born, all of us when we are born, no matter who we are, and kids today, as well as adults, but children today, and kids that are going through school today, and before they become adults, they're asking the question in the middle, who am I? That deals with your self-image. Why am I here? What's my purpose? Am I valued? That's self-esteem or self-worth. So how do I function? And so we start out in life with a low bucket. And that low bucket, some people can feel responsible. They can feel shame. They can have a loss of self. They can have distrust, abandonment, anxiety. They're overwhelmed, dependency needs. And the overall emphasis of that is what we call in counseling is what we call the hole in the soul syndrome. And so many people, what they'll do is they'll say, what I need to do is I need to get this from my parents. I should be getting it from my parents. And what I've given you here is the parents, when our children go to their parents, have a pool of resources. So the children can be function healthy. And we see a whole lot of not healthy people, don't we? A lot of unhealthy children nowadays. And the messages that they're getting in society and even they're getting from their parents and from others. So each one of us, we go over here to our parents and what we desire and want, we want unconditional love. Now, I've given you these things, some of these things that we all want. We strive to get our uniqueness, our individuality, and our personality from our parents. We want honest, loving, and direct communication. We want boundaries. All children, even us growing up, and all children want boundaries. As adults, we need boundaries. God wants us to have those. And we go to our parents to get those physical needs met. And also those spiritual and emotional resources, what I call duplication, from ourselves and the world. So if we're not getting those things, what do we do? What do we do to feel better? I want to figure out why I'm here, what my purpose is. And I want these things, but I'm not getting them over here from mom and dad. I'm not getting them from parents. I'm not getting them from school. So what do I do? What can I do? What can I take to feel better? And that's where the painkillers come in, what we call in counseling counterfeit parts. And I have sheets here that I'll give you later, and that's where a lot of addictions come in. Alcohol addiction, sex addiction, TV addiction. we can say social media addiction today. Even exercise can be an addiction. Even shopping. Work can be an addiction. All those things. So what's the answer to that? Well, before we get to the provisions of the Father, I'll have Tony pass that out later. I want Jeff, I'm going to introduce this song. I love music. Always have. Debbie knows that. And a lot of you know that. And so I'm always listening to, I'm very eclectic as far as listening to music. But I found this CD of Todd Agnew's not too long ago, and I played this song for Debbie. And it really speaks to this issue and what we're going to look at today as far as Scripture is concerned. So I want you to listen to this song. It's called Letting Go. Very beautiful song. It's got a, and it's got a wonderful message in it. And some people could say that could bring a tear to a pair of glass eyes. Have a listen to this.
All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence daily live. So I'm letting go of the chains that are holding me down. I'm letting go of the lies that I believe. And I'm letting go of the shame I let define this hurting heart of mine. When I let go of my life, You give me Yours. So I'm letting go.
So I'm letting go of the chains that
you, but that's a wonderful message in that song, is there not? And then how Todd develops I Surrender All around that, about letting go. Many people, that's the hardest thing that they have to do in life, is letting go. Letting go of themselves. Letting go of whatever it is that's keeping and holding them back. Remember that in John chapter 10, and this has to all do with the provisions of the Father. Jesus said there that he came to give life, and he came to give that life abundantly. That's what he said. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Paul tells us over in Philippians that it's through Christ that we get that. So I'm going to tell you a story. Jump around the scriptures, and I know this story well, and you probably do well, maybe. Last week, I told you the story of David and his trusted counselor, and what impact that had, and why his trusted counselor did what he did. Now, what I didn't mention last week, too, that somebody reminded me about, is that David also prayed to the Lord that Ahithophel's counsel would be rejected. And it was rejected, wasn't it? And instead of him changing his life and letting go his chains, he killed himself, didn't he? What he said, he went back to his house. He went back to his home, Jilo. Got everything in order. And then he hung himself. Because Absalom wouldn't take his advice. You know, there's one character in the Old Testament that I wish we knew more about. Maybe two characters. But one specific character that I wish we knew more about, which scriptures don't tell us a whole lot about him. All we know was that he was David's father. Remember Jesse? David's father. We're going to come back to this. And David's in the story of David's life. Now, when David kills Goliath, David is not a small boy, like they want to say. He's not 12 years old, even. David, by the time he kills Goliath, he's in his early 20s. He's about 20, 21 years old. It wasn't the fact that he was just a little guy, like they want to portray him like a shepherd boy because he couldn't fit, why he couldn't fit, Saul's armor wouldn't fit on him. It was because it just wouldn't fit him. He wasn't that big as Saul yet. He would become that. Now, David was just 12 years old. How in the world did he have the strength to wield Goliath's sword and cut off his head? Think about that. He wasn't a little boy. He was like in his 20s. So after David kills Goliath, remember what the people started saying? Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his what? David has killed his tens of thousands. And what did that do to old Saul? That made him jealous, didn't it? And then he wanted to kill David. Now remember that David being a shepherd boy, he loved music too. He wrote a lot of the Psalms, did he not? That we read. And David played the harp. And Saul, every once in a while, in that anger and depression and stuff would come upon Saul. And so they sought for someone to soothe him. Play music for him. Soothe him. They said, hey, there's a shepherd boy over here. He plays the harp. Saul says, come, bring him in. Lo and behold, it's David. And after a period of time, of course, Saul sees David as the enemy, doesn't he? Because Saul's already been told that the kingdom's not going to be his forever. That's going to be taken away from him. And it's going to be given to David. Now, I don't know if Saul knew that at the time. I don't think he did. But the long story of it is, after Saul was killed, at the age of 30, David finally becomes king of Israel. He reigns as king in Hebron for 7 years. During that 7 years' time, he marries several women, and he has sons and daughters, right? He has sons and daughters. 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Three of the main sons he has. Amnon. He's the oldest. 2 Samuel tells us that. His mother was a Jezreelite. Then comes Amnon, then comes another one. Third is Absalom. He's not the oldest. He's the son of a daughter of a king, of Geshur. And then after the down next to him after that comes Adonijah. And as you all know your history, David's history. We know that David sinned, like we talked about last week, with Bathsheba, right? And he sinned by having her husband killed, which was Hophel's grandson-in-law, because Eliam was Bathsheba's daddy, father. Ahithophel was Bathsheba's grandfather. And we know what that did to him. But what David did had an influence on his sons. First, there's Amnon. And Amnon, Amnon has a stepsister, Absalom's sister, Tamar. Amnon looks at Tamar and lusts after her. Says, I want her. One of his cousins, Jonadab, said, this is how you do it. And we know the story. Amnon rapes his half-sister. Now, in the story, what happens is, after he does that, he hates Tamar. Get her out of here. And she goes running home crying. She rips her, what they would do at that time, they rip her clothes. Who sees all that? Who knows? Because she goes back home. Who learns of that? Absalom, her brother. You know who else heard about that? David. And you read the scriptures and you know what happens? In the Old Testament, what should have happened to Amnon? Like Mike says, Tony said, they should have been killed. Leviticus 18:19 in Deuteronomy, God says, yeah, that happens. The one that does that, gone, dead. That didn't happen, did it? But the scriptures do tell us, here's something, learn, what the scriptures do tell us is, David was mad. He found out about it. David was mad. What did David do? Like Stuart says, not a thing. Not one thing. But old Absalom, he knows that happened. So what does Absalom do? He tells his dad, he tells David, I'm having a party over here. I want to invite my brothers and I want to invite others. Could you have Amnon? Could I have Amnon come? Dave said, well, I'm not going to come. He says, could I have Amnon come? So he does. And they all get sauced, you know. And so what does Absalom do? He kills his half-brother. Absalom takes care of it. My father's not going to take care of it. He's not going to do what is right, but I will. I'll take care of it. So Absalom does that. Years go on. About 10 years go on. And we know the story there. What happens is Absalom tries to take over the throne. And what we learn. But Absalom is killed by Joab, who's related to them, by the way. Absalom's killed, and what does David do? David cries, my son, Absalom. Oh, that it was only, if it was only me instead. And it takes a woman going to David. Joab has her to do it, but it takes a woman to get to David. But do you not realize the welfare of your people? And it finally came to David's senses. Now we know that David was a man after God's own heart, don't we? What the scriptures tell us. We also know that David repented as far as his sin with Bathsheba and Uriah. We know that as well, don't we? And we know that David wrote a lot of psalms and he repented in that. But one of the things that we often don't think about is that David, even though he was a man after God's own heart, he had a hole in the soul syndrome. David was a wounded man. David had a wounded soul. We can't tell that from the English scriptures. You read the Hebrew, and I don't know why they don't translate it the way they should. And that's why I say, I wish we knew more about Jesse. Jesse, we learn from the scriptures, if you turn to 1 Samuel, we learn from the scriptures there that Jesse had 8 sons, didn't he? Jesse had 8 sons. God tells Samuel, concerning Saul, the Lord, in 1 Samuel 16, now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you grieve over Saul, since I have rejected him from being king over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I will send you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite. For I have selected a king. Notice what God says there. Israel wanted a king before. This time God said, for I have selected a king for myself among his sons. God said, I've done it now. People, I let the people the last time select the first king. Now I'm going to do it. So, as we know the story, Samuel says, how can I go when Saul hears it, he will kill me. And the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. You shall invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. And you shall anoint for me the one whom I designate to you. So Samuel did what the Lord said and came to Bethlehem, and the elders of the city came trembling to meet him and said, do you come in peace? He said, in peace I have come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. He also consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. And first, Samuel's sitting down. Just imagine this. Samuel's sitting down. He's invited them to the feast and sacrificed the Lord. Jesse and his sons come in. Jesse has 8 sons. Eliab comes in first. And Samuel looks at him. Look at this. He looked at Eliab and thought, surely the Lord's anointed is with me. Surely the Lord's anointed is before him. But the Lord said to Samuel, what? Do not look at his appearance or the height of his stature, because I have rejected him. For God sees not as man sees. For man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Then Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass, the next one down the line, pass before Samuel. And he said, Lord hadn't chosen this one either. Next, Jesse made Shammah pass by. And he said, Lord hadn't chosen this one either. Thus, Jesse made 7 of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to Jesse, Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are these all the children? Are these all your sons? Now here's where the scriptures, English, gets it off. And I think the reason why they did, why they do, my own personal belief is, the reason why they do is because David was a man after God's own heart, wasn't he? How could this be said of David if he's a man after God's own heart? It says here, there remained yet the youngest. And behold, he is tending the sheep. Then Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down until he comes. Now, the English says here, there remains yet the youngest. The Hebrew doesn't say that. Jesse uses a certain word when he talks about David. You know what Jesse calls his youngest son? This is in Hebrew. He called Jesse a Hakatan. Yes, I have another son. I have a hakatan. Samuel says, go send for him. Do you know what hakatan means? It doesn't mean youngest one. Hakatan means worthless one. That's what Jesse thought of his son, of his youngest son. That's what Jesse said about David. He said, yeah, I have a youngest son. I have another son. He's tending sheep. He's a hakatan. Do you think that David knew that? What his father thought about him? I think he did. Why would Jesse think that about his own son? Why would he be a worthless one? We don't know. Perhaps it could be the fact he played music. He played a harp. And he was a shepherd. And he was a sling thrower. But David could wield that sling pretty good, couldn't he? Could also be the fact that Jesse looked at David and didn't see a warrior in David. Now, he didn't see a warrior in David. But God saw something in him, didn't he? That's what he said. He said, I look at the heart. So David had the heart. But you know something that David didn't have? He didn't have that relationship with his father. David, I firmly believe this, folks, brothers and sisters, that David had a wounded soul. Why, oh why? Why else could David not relate to his children? Do you see that? Even throughout his life, by the time his children get up in years, he doesn't know how to relate to them. I think it's because he had that. Even though he was a man after God's heart, and yes, he had the father, he didn't have the provisions of his earthly father. See, he looked to the heavenly father, yes, but he didn't have what he needed from the earthly father. Can you see that? Why Jesse would say he's a hakatan, a worthless one? Can you imagine that, growing up with that and seeing that? Feeling that way? That's why Todd Agnew's song fits so well with this, letting go. David had to learn to let go, and he did. But the thing of it is, he never really related to his children. Can you imagine? And this relates to today as well, for a lot of things we see going on, and even in some churches in that. Can you imagine what Tamar felt after she was violated by her brother? And it says she went to her home. She never had anything to do with a man again. She lived her life that whole way. But David knew it. But David got mad, but what? Scriptures don't tell us. It says he got angry and got mad, but he didn't go after Amnon, did he? He was angry, but he didn't. And the scriptures don't say. He didn't go to the son and say, son, what had you done? We need to take care of this. But he didn't. He didn't even go to Tamar. He knew his daughter had been violated, but it never even says that David went to her. Why? Because I firmly believe he didn't know how to relate to her. Can you see how that relates even to today? See? That's why looking at Scripture, and I'm not talking about our psychologizing them or, you know, putting psychology into them, that, but looking at Scripture and striving to understand what it says and what it can teach us about people, about families and that. David's whole upbringing, all of his family throughout, even though he was a man after God's heart, was dysfunctional. And I believe because it went back to that. See, his children really never, I believe, never really even knew their father. And many people are in that today. And I'll leave these out on the table for you, but because I don't have time to do this. What we need today, just what Todd Agnew sings in that song, letting go. Who do we let go to? Who do people let go to today? Shouldn't it be him? See, he has the provisions. God does. The Lord, through his Son, wants to parent us. We are his children. And it's through God, it's through him that we get our uniqueness. It's through him that we can know we're valued. It's through him that we get the provisions that we need. God's love, his uniqueness. And you know what, brothers and sisters, contrary to what many people would say today, God will never lie to us. We read his word. God's word gives us that honest, direct, loving communication, doesn't it? Throughout this, he tells us he is love. And he showed us that by giving us his Son. We get that. We get this from him. But God also gives us boundaries. And when we go beyond those boundaries, we often pay the consequences, don't we? So we might start out in life with that low bucket. But that bucket can get full. How? We can live a full life if we let God be in control. God will supply our every need. He wants to do that. But what it takes is surrendering all. And that's one of the hardest things to do. See? Something that I wish David's children would have learned, but I don't think they ever did. Do you? But that's something that we can teach, and we can teach others. We're going to stand, we're going to sing, I surrender all. That's what it comes down to. See? Let's stand. There we go.